Welcome to the Reach for Life broadcast from Christian Resources International. I'm Harry Jeffrey, and I'll be with you for the next half hour, featuring inspirational music and an uplifting message by Pastor Charles D. Brooks of the Breath of Life telecast. The Reach for Life program gives you knowledge for successful living in today's rapidly changing world. If you're raising a family, struggling with issues concerning your career, or seeking to enhance the overall quality of your life, stay right here. Reach for Life brings you thrilling messages from Pastor Charles D. Brooks, veteran evangelist and director speaker of the Breath of Life television broadcast. The Breath of Life telecast may be available in your area, and you won't want to miss it. Please check your local television listings, including your cable TV listings, for the time and station. Make sure you don't miss Pastor Brooks on the Breath of Life telecast. Set your VCR to tape the program for you if you have to be away.
And look.
You can write to us anytime with your requests for prayer or your Bible questions. We are here to help, and we know of a Bible-believing pastor in your area that can be of further assistance. Write to us today at Reach for Life, Post Office Box 3339, Silver Spring, Maryland 20918. That's Reach for Life, Post Office Box 3339, Silver Spring, Maryland 20918 in the U.S. We'll give this address again later in the program, so you might want to have a pencil ready. Two Preachers Who Quit the Church is the title of today's message. Who are these preachers, and why would they quit going to church? Dr. Charles D. Brooks explains who they are and what's going on here. Here is Pastor Brooks with part one of this gripping message.
George Gallup and Sarah Jones were co-authors of a book called 100 Questions and Answers, Religion in America. They said that nearly all United States adults say they believe in God or in a universal spirit. However, the gap is widening between believing and belonging. They learned that 84% believe that Christ is the Son of God. 80% believe in a last judgment. 80% believe in the miracles of the New Testament. That's up from 62% in 1982. 71% believe in life after death. 53% believe in a literal burning hell. And only 20% deny that there is a being called the devil. 77% believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. 44% believe in creationism. 70% believe that life has meaning. And 80% pray in the time of crisis. You hear that? 80% pray in the time of crisis, and 64% admit to reading their Bible sometimes. In addition to that, there's a drop from 67% to 60% who believe in the ethics of clergymen in general, and the fault lay with the scandals of the televangelists, according to the book. Then they added, people tend to leave church in their late teens and return in their late 20s. They said that women are more likely to come back to the church than men, and black folk are more likely to come back to the church than white folk. Married people are more likely to go to church than singles. I just thought you would enjoy thinking on those things. Tonight, I want to tell you about two preachers. And I will suggest that there is a vital relationship between these statistics you've been listening to. This earth went through what was called the Dark Ages, a time when Bibles were confiscated and burned in public squares. Men and women by the multiplied thousands, yea, millions, were forbidden by law to even read the Bible. And I want to tell you that's why they were called Dark Ages. This Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You take away the word of God and darkness comes. And it's not just spiritual darkness. You take away the word of God, scientific darkness comes. Medical darkness comes. Industrial darkness comes. All you got to do is think about history. For over 1,200 years, the world was lost in darkness. Darkness called the Dark Ages. And the Reformation, a return to the Bible, also brought the Renaissance and the Industrial Revolution. All scientific inventions worth talking about have come into being since the Dark Ages were removed. The Word is a lamp. The Word is a light. Take away the Word of God, and it doesn't take long for people to degenerate into paganism. I was out in a very beautiful section of California, and they drove me down to a place where the water was so clear, it looked like you could drink it, a river that was moving slowly. It was really so beautiful and terribly hot, and I suggested we ought to go swimming. Someone said, no, you can't do that. This is where the hippies come to swim. And the fish have been pulled out of there with hepatitis. Throw away God's word, have no regard for the morals of God's word, and it doesn't take long to degenerate and to degrade ourselves. And so, there was this long period of over 1,200 years when Bibles were burned in public squares and ridiculed and derided. And I want to tell you, the world has never recovered from that terrible tragedy. And I don't believe the world will until Jesus comes and settles the issue. One of the things that came out of it was divided Christianity. As the Reformation churches began to develop, we found that one group said, we believe this, another group said, we believe that, and today in America, there are over 500 denominations, cults, and independent groups which all claim to worship one Jesus. Now, there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Why are we so divided? Right here in this city, they have lots of beautiful churches. Some are across the street from one another. They do not believe the same thing. And the Bible says God wanted his people to be like-minded. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say something I hope you will never forget. If all people who love God would go to the Bible and the Bible only, if they would put aside opinions, if they'd put aside their theology, if they'd put aside their pamphlets and their cassette tapes, if they would go to God's word and God's word only, the whole of Christianity would be united again, obeying one God, doing what God said. Amen. The reason we are divided is because we have never recovered from Bibles being taken away for so long a time. Finally, with the Reformation, the Bibles were returned. I don't know if you have read all about this or not, but the Dark Ages ended, frankly, with the return of the Bible. Martin Luther, one of the great reformers, was carried and put away in a castle for safekeeping. He actually thought he was going to be killed, but when he got out there in the forest, in the castle of Duke Frederick of Saxony, Martin Luther began to realize he was being treated and preserved by God. And rather than just sit there, he decided to do something useful. And so he took the Latin and translated it back into the language of the common people. Now I want to show you how providence works. Martin Luther finally had the Bible in a language the people could understand. And when he got his Bible ready, lo, another German by the name of John Gutenberg had invented a printing press. Now you don't have to copy it by hand. They began to run it off on the printing press, and like leaves of autumn, the word of God was spread throughout Germany and throughout Europe, and when the light returned, the darkness was on its way out. Somebody ought to say amen to that. Amen. The word of God is a lamp. In 1810, the British Bible Society was formed. In 1815, the American Bible Society was formed. And since that time, you can get a free Bible. Every time I check into a hotel, there's a Bible in my room. I get on airplanes. They got Reader's Digest in all of these magazines. But if you have a mind to feast on the Word of God, there's a Bible on the airplane. Men and women are without excuse today, not knowing God's will. You can go to the library and read the Bible. Bibles are everywhere by the grace of God. But today, hats go to church, furs go to church, jewelry goes to church, fashions go to church, chewing gum goes to church. Cookies go to church. Knives go to church. And even guns go to church. But there are two preachers that have almost quit. Who are they? I'm using a figure of speech, which you learned in school. It's called personification. It's something that's done in the Bible time and time again. You can read in the Bible where Abel's blood cried out to God. Now, blood can't cry. This is personification. I can turn in my Bible and read to you where the trees clap their hands. That is personification. Now, who are these two preachers? And I have no desire to remain mysterious about it. In Revelation 11 and verse 3, they are the two witnesses of Revelation. The Bible prophesied concerning the dark ages and the great religious apostasy, and the Bible says these two witnesses would be shut up. In other words, they wouldn't be going to church and spreading light. Who are they? They are the Testament brothers, old and new. These are the two preachers that have almost quit going to church. You can hear civil rights, you can hear philosophy, you can hear politics, you can hear almost everything except the Word of God. Let me tell you, these brothers are very close. Men have tried to drive a wedge between them. Men have tried to separate them and create some kind of dichotomy between them. Men have tried to turn these Testament brothers against each other, but old and new have never had a disagreement. Would you say amen out there? Now, old is a lot older and larger than new. In fact, old lived for centuries apart from new, and yet they are in complete accord and complete concord. New says this about old. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All scripture, how much?
All
scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It is profitable for doctrine, profitable for reproof, profitable for correction and instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. And the Bible says all scripture, not some little section of the Bible, not some little dispensational section, but all scripture. And when Jesus was here, old was all by himself. There was no New Testament. And yet one scholar sat down and traced every word that they say Jesus said that's written in red in a lot of Bibles, and he came up with this statistic. He said that 10% of everything Jesus said was a direct quotation from the Old Testament. In other words, Jesus was a Bible preacher. Amen. And you can trust a Bible preacher. Amen. Jesus said in John 5:39, search the scriptures. Now listen to me. When he said that, there was no New Testament. The New Testament didn't come for some 20 years after Christ had gone back to heaven. Mark, it is believed, wrote the first book. So when Jesus said, search the scriptures, he was only talking about the Old Testament because that's all they had. Now let me finish the quotation. John 5:39 says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. Jesus said, you can find me in the scriptures, you can find me in the Old Testament. I'm not some creation of the New Testament. I am God. I am the Word. I was here from the beginning. And in the Old Testament, you can find things which point to me. If you read a little further in that chapter, verses 46 and 47, Jesus said, if you had believed Moses, if you'd believed whom?
Moses.
If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you don't believe him, how can you believe me? John 5:46-47. When Jesus was on the road to Emmaus with those discouraged disciples, they didn't even know who he was. They were so depressed. And they finally got inside and sat down together. And the Bible says that Jesus began with Moses and all the prophets and told them what the scriptures said about himself. Jesus started with Moses, and you can't go back further than that, for Moses wrote the book of Genesis. Ladies and gentlemen, that is found in Luke 24:27-44. Beginning with Moses, he expounded unto them the things which the scripture said concerning himself. And when he held his hands up and they saw the nail prints, they knew him. In Luke 4:16, the Bible says that Jesus came to Nazareth, as his custom was, went into church on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. What did he read? He read from Isaiah 42. I hope tonight you settle it in your minds that there is harmony in the Word of God. Amen. The Bible does not fight itself. It was inspired by one Holy Ghost. It was given by one Jesus Christ. Why would there be contradictions when one Holy Ghost said it? If there appear to be contradictions, the problem is not with the Bible, but with misunderstanding and being mistaught. You see, when a man tells you something that the Bible doesn't say and then reads something that it does say, he's got a contradiction. So rather than say I was wrong, he says the Bible contradicts itself. Oh no, the Bible is one harmonious whole written over a period of more than 1,500 years. There are some who say if you read the Old Testament, all you can read about is works. And if you read the New Testament, all you can read about is grace. What? As soon as man sinned, Genesis 3, as soon as man sinned, God came down and killed two lambs. He killed two lambs to demonstrate to them that one day the Lamb of God will come and pay your debt. That's grace. Who said there's no grace in the Old Testament? As soon as man sinned, God gave him a way out of his dilemma. In Genesis 6:8, the Bible says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Were it not so, the whole human race would have been cut off in the flood. Isaiah 9, one of my favorites. Isaiah was called the gospel prophet. He wrote so much about Jesus. But in Isaiah 9, he said, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. You know, I love that. My people were slaves in this country. And for a long time, we didn't have a proportionate share of the wealth and prosperity of America. And many people who have not overcome their racism tend to look down on my people. Let me tell you, when God said unto us a child is born, he was talking about me. Did you know that? Unto us who have so little of this world's goods. Unto us disfranchised from coast to coast. Unto us the last hired and the first fired. Unto us is born this day in the city of David. And then he said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Oh, Jesus is wonderful. One day Jesus had 5,000 men in front of him, and they were so hungry they began to keel over and faint. Jesus said to his disciples, we got to feed these people. One of the disciples said, we don't have that kind of money. It would take 200 pennyworth of bread to feed all his people. Jesus said, let's give them something to eat. And a little boy came forward with a lunch. Now, I don't know if you've ever read the menu, but he had 3 little fishes and 5 loaves of bread. And I'm one of these country boys with a good appetite. I could have eaten the whole thing by myself. But he brought it to Jesus. And Jesus added something to it that mama couldn't add to it in the kitchen, and he started breaking it, and they fed 5,000 men plus women and children and took up 12 baskets full from those who didn't join the Clean Plate Club. That's wonderful.
You know that there is something very special he'll do in your life, better than you can imagine. He'll take your heart and make your life brand new. Let the Savior take control of your life.
You've been listening to Pastor Charles D. Brooks with part one of the sermon entitled Two Preachers Who Quit the Church. We'll bring you part two next time. As you know, we have been airing messages from a special series of meetings held not long ago, in which Dr. Brooks presented all the biblical teachings essential for Christian growth and maturity. This special series is called the Breath of Life Crusade. Since our time together here is so brief, we are able to share these messages with you only in small chunks at a time. However, the whole set of 28 full-length sermons is available right now, and we recommend you add this priceless set to your library. We've also included the popular question and answer period, in which Dr. Brooks addresses specific questions from the audience. Not only will this material fortify you in the truth, but it provides a convenient and effective Share Your Faith tool. For more information, contact us and ask for information about the Breath of Life Crusade. Just call 1-800-528-8929 and ask for information on the Breath of Life Crusade. That phone number again is 1-800-528-8929. 1-800-528-8929. Ask for information on the Breath of Life Crusade. We'll get it out to you right away. If you're outside the U.S., call 1-301-439-2952. Again, if you're outside the U.S. and want information on the Breath of Life Crusade, call 1-301-439-2952. Our mailing address is Reach for Life, Post Office Box 3339, Silver Spring, Maryland 20918. Reach for Life, Post Office Box 3339, Silver Spring, Maryland 20918 in the U.S. Contact us today. I'm Harry Jeffrey, your host for the Reach for Life program. On behalf of Pastor Brooks, Adrian Wesney, music arranger, and Myron S. Otley, our executive producer, thank you for listening. We urge you to invite Jesus Christ into your heart for peace, for true happiness, and for everlasting life. Reach for Life is a production of Christian Resources International. Until next time, God bless.